So these are the power gifts. This is the skill saw. This is the power drill. This is the things that you know, in the old days they used to have a drill that, and maybe some of you know this and some of you used it, where you used to push down on it and then crank like that, you know, and it'd take you like a half an hour to go through a 2x4. Then they came out with power drills, electric ones, and then they came out with the cordless ones. And I remember working in my welding shop, and I had a half-inch drill. Now, there's a lot of torque in a half-inch drill. It probably weighed, in those days, probably weighed about 40 pounds and had two handles like this. And I would be drilling in my shop by myself, and I would be drilling in a, and usually the thinner the metal, the harder it was to drill. And so you'd drill this down, and it would catch. And the bit would catch inside the metal, and it would swing around, knock the wind out of me, which would make me let go of this, and I would shoot across my shop and lay on the floor while this thing is still going around in the hole. And then I would have to, once I got my breath back and I could crawl, and there's nobody in the shop with me, nobody really cared that I was beat up or anything, and I would crawl back, and I would have to unplug it because I couldn't tackle that thing that was alive. There was a lot of power in it. Well, this is what we have in the gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about now, is that there's a lot of power to show the power and love of Jesus Christ for this world. And we are equipped with that. Isn't that awesome? Every one of you. Some of you go, well, I would never use a drill like that. You don't have to use a drill like that. God wants you to use the power of His gifts to move in areas that are dark and in areas that seem hopeless, in areas that seem impossible. God wants us, to show forth the power, because it's really the power of His love to meet the needs of His creation. So I'll just give you a quick review here, because it's been a while since I preached here anyway. I'll just tell you that, and maybe I did kind of touch on it, but the weekend you had the water baptismal service, Elaine and I were up in a place called Howes Lake, just north of Williams Lake, beautiful lake, and we did our water baptismal service for our granddaughter, and it was wonderful. About 40 people came out. It was just a wonderful opportunity, and what a great thing as a papa to be able to do that, and we just had a great time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, it says, "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led away by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." This is for the common good. This is to encourage you, but to encourage others, and obviously to touch people's lives. "To one, there is given the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, the gifts of the healing by the same Spirit." So we're going to go through more of these later on. "To another, miraculous powers." You know who's going to preach that? Pastor Dan Donkers. And he's going to hold that miracle probably in his hands when he does that. "To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing or the discerning between spirits. To another, the speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of those tongues. All of these are the work of the one and same Spirit, which He distributes to them, to each, just as He determines." Not us. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2, 3 to 5. He says, "I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power, the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Please, don't ever get caught up in human wisdom. Do never get caught up in following someone in his or her ministry. Follow Jesus. Be encouraged by them, but never put them above Jesus. Never flock to them and hold their ankles and say, oh, touch me and anoint me. It's not. There are some powerful men and women of God, and I'm excited about that. But don't ever put them in Jesus' place. We don't want a human to lead us. We don't want a human to empower us. We want the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
That's good. So in 1 Corinthians 12:9 it says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for common good. To one there is given the Spirit a message of wisdom, and we talked about that, and Pastor Stephen did a great job on the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. And this is the one we're going to look at today. To another faith, the gift of faith, by the same Spirit, to other gifts of healing by that same Spirit. So this faith is what it's all about. You got to have faith. You just got to have faith. Well, do we get faith after we become Christians? Or do we have faith? I believe that we have faith before, so that we have the faith to come to God, to ask Him to forgive our sins. And then He builds on that. We're the reflection of God. We are still created, even though we're fallen. He's made a vehicle, if you want, for us to come back to Him. And so you got to have faith that, in Hebrews, and we'll talk about this, and that you have faith that there is a God. You got to believe in Him first. It's very simple. We've complicated. Oh, my goodness. We've really done a job on faith. Faith is really not that difficult. But it's hard to walk in. Faith is really what God wants us to have. So it says that we have a measure of faith. So all of us have been given a measure of faith. It says in Romans 12, verse 3, by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Who does that? No one that I know. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has given you, distributed to you. He has given you a measure of faith. That's it. You all have a measure of faith. And it's as tiny as a mustard seed, and then it grows up to a big tree where birds can come in and fly in it. We don't understand that, really. But we have this measure of faith, and it grows. All of us. I think we have more faith when we're kids than when we're adults. I think we lose a big chunk of our account, our faith account, because we start to rationalize and try to theorize and try to run doubt alongside faith. And man, I tell you, when kids hear what they're going to do or want to plan something and they know it's going to happen, they just believe it. And you'd better come through if you're the parent that said it. You'd better come through because they believe it. And you can help develop their faith by following through. So the gift of faith, faith is confidence. In Hebrews is the whole faith chapter. It's a fantastic chapter. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we cannot see. Isn't that crazy? It's almost like, how can you prove this? This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Wow, it's almost lawyer talk. What does that mean? It was just like God just created things and we believe it. Well, there's lots of other theories out there and doctrines, and actually they believe that they're fact, that God didn't create it. It just kind of all happened. And it didn't all happen except by the voice of God who created all things, including us. How many of us were there? None. But we have this record. which was written after, because even when God created it, Adam, Abraham, and some of Moses, these guys weren't around to share. They had to have it by the Spirit of God. And so we believe it. We believe this to be the true word of God. How do we know that? Because we believe it, because the Holy Spirit inside of us connects us with that truth. You can argue, and you will, and you probably already have done, with people says, well, it's just a book. Man, before I was saved, I used to think probably a bunch of guys, God, this is really bad, a bunch of guys got together, kegs of beer maybe, sat down by the river and wrote the Bible. I didn't have any. Can you imagine? No, I'm your pastor, and I don't think that way anymore, not even close, okay? But that's what I thought. I thought, like, who can prove this is the Word of God? Well, I'll tell you, I prove it every day in my life. I have an absolute assurance that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I have an absolute assurance that these gifts that we're talking about happen today. That's faith. Let's look at some others here. Faith. Verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. I talked to an atheist one time that said he's really ticked off with God. I said, well, how can you be ticked off with him? You don't believe in him. Right? Like, if you're mad at God, you got to believe that he's there, or why are you being mad? Because people are confused. There is a God, and we know that there's a God. We just have to understand that he loves us and that we have fallen away, and now we need to be drawn back, and it's because of his love that he will do that. And he'll do it for anyone. Isn't that the truth? You think, oh, no, it just got to be the nice people. Well, I weren't one of the nice people. Matter of fact, I still go home to my hometown, and people say, really? Caruso's a preacher? Come on. And I just tell him, yeah, if I can be there, so can you. Don't tell me your story. Oh, well, I'm just too bad, are you? I've had guys come into our church in Dawson City, and they're tough, boy. They're relics up there in the Yukon. And I said, hey, come on into our church. I was buying firewood from them, and old Captain Dick, his name was. And he has some stories himself that we couldn't even share here. Captain Dick said, no, I better stay inside. I better stay out here on the porch, because if I step in there, the carpet will catch on fire. I said, you know what? It'll be the different kind of fire than you've ever seen. And him and I became friends. I didn't say, you're right. And if you don't come to Jesus, you're going to go to hell and burn. Because that just draws people in. You know that? They just want to be with you. The reality is, that they want to know that they're acceptable. The words that spoke to me the most when somebody was witnessing to me were, Caruso, you're good enough to be a Christian. What does that do to you? Put your name in there. Such and such, you're good enough to be a Christian. It makes you feel that you're acceptable. You know what he was saying? He's a good friend of mine. He says, you're just like the rest of the sinners that came. But he didn't say it that way. He said, Caruso, you're good enough. Everybody in this world is good enough because they're sinners and they're saved by grace. That is what the answer is to everybody's life dilemma and problem. It is. And we have the power. These gifts are powerful. So we need to have faith that there's a God. So the gift of faith is different than the regular measure of faith. Now, I'll be real candid with you. I did this sermon up, and I know that there's people that say, well, you should have it on your desk by Thursday, because my day is off Friday. And it should be all signed, sealed. Actually, you should have like 10 sermons ahead. I've been in it for 35 years, and I've never had 10 sermons ahead. I've never had really one sermon ahead. I think I know where I'm going. And you know what? It goes through the week, and I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking of my buddies who are in their offices, and they do, and some people are really able to do this. Friday night, I put my sermon together because all week long, I'm mulling this over. And our translators, and I have to apologize, they get that original copy usually Saturday morning. And then God starts to work on my heart and my mind. And so 4:30 this morning, and I'm not saying this to be spiritual, I'm saying this to be who I am. God gave me this part that tweaks and puts the whole thing together. And so I'm up at 5:30 this morning because I like to get up and have coffee and go over my sermon and stuff like that. And he gave me this because there is a difference between the measure of faith that we have, that we live by, and this area of the gift of faith. And this is what it is. The measure of faith is given to everyone. It's not accumulated or developed faith. This isn't something that you muster up. This is, and the Lord showed me, this is the adrenaline of faith. All right? We all have muscle and we all have, abilities and strengths, and some people can lift things. But we're in a situation where there's maybe, and we've heard of this, where there's been in a car accident and somebody's under a car and some small little person like 98 pounds will lift that car off of there. Go figure. They didn't go down to the gym. I got to come back in 10 minutes, lift that car up. It was there. It was adrenaline that came from their little adrenal glands on their kidneys and pumped up through their body, and they picked this car up, put it over there, and went, whoa. This is the kind of faith I'm talking about this morning. This is the adrenaline faith that God has these little adrenal glands, if you want, or these little faith glands inside of you, and when you need it, when you need this, it comes. You just have faith and nobody else can understand how you could even believe, how you could even be part of that. Because it seems impossible. What's impossible with God? Nothing. Nothing is impossible. What's impossible with us? Most things. Right? How many times have you found that out when you went charging into a wonderful design and idea? Found yourself face down on the floor, hoping nobody sees you there. What I'm talking about this morning is adrenaline faith. And he has it for you when you need it. See, in Hebrews, that same chapter, which I think we all should be really become familiar with, it says in verse 17 and 18, but by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Oh, man. We read the story and we know it ends well and all that kind of stuff, but I'll tell you, I'm going to read the story to you in a few minutes. Abraham knew. He had the adrenaline faith to know that he was going to come back with his son because God promised him his son. Can I encourage you that if God's promised you something, if God's promised you, not you, you manipulated him to tell you what, you told him what you're going to do. But when God tells you, when God speaks into your heart about whatever it is, if you will stay in that area of faith, God will bring that to fruition. He will show you the very things that you cannot see now, he has already seen, made provision for, and will bring them into a physical way so that you will know and everybody else around you will know as well. That's the kind of God we serve. That's what I'm talking about here. And Abraham knew it. I'm really yelling, aren't I? I'm not mad at anybody. The gift of faith. Abraham in 11:19 says, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. If so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. When you have that kind of faith, and he didn't even, I'm not saying that he didn't see Jesus in his lifetime, but like the disciples walked with Jesus and Jesus raised the dead and healed the leper and, multiplied the fish and the bread, and he did all these wonderful, tangible things. Abraham knew that if he had to sacrifice his son, God would raise him up off that altar alive because he made a promise. Do you understand that? That's where we are here. And you will have to lay down everything that you have, everything that you are, every one of your plans. You may have to lay that down so that God can get the glory. And he can do a miracle. This is where the adrenaline of faith will kick in. And so Abraham, of course, is the father of faith. So let's look at this story for a few minutes. If you're with me and you have your Bibles, Genesis 22 said, early in the morning, the next morning, got up and loaded his donkey, or Abraham got up. God was already up. Early in the morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey and took with him two servants and his son Isaac. Early the next morning. Well, what happened before that? God said, take your son up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Now, doesn't that sound like crazy stuff? Like human sacrifices? Come on. But that was a very culture and custom that Abraham was very much aware of and very much grew up in. And so, you sure, God? I see this video, this music video of this story, and it just tears my heart out. It just rips my heart out because I'm a dad. And I can't even imagine. I can't even comprehend. I don't know whether I could do that, to be honest with you. Have I got that kind of faith? I don't have it now. But I know when our son was sick and we finally got him to the hospital and he just about died. 20 minutes later, he would have died. And I went to the chapel and asked God, what are you doing? And God says, I'm going to heal your son. And I knew right then that, and I was a paramedic, and I knew all the situations that could happen. But I knew I had adrenaline faith. I had the gift of faith that my son was going to be healed, and he is a strong, healthy lover of Jesus with a family that loves Jesus because God healed him. So God said, go and sacrifice your son. So here's the story. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering. He set out for the place God had told him about. What is he thinking when he's cutting this wood? He's seen lots of sacrifices. He's offered lots of sacrifices. It's a horrible sight, let me tell you. First the death and then the burning. It's not nice. It's not pleasant. On the third day. So it's not like, let's just run up the mountain here. It's a half an hour away. On the third day of the journey, what kind of conversations went on between Isaac and his dad? Because the boy's not stupid. He knows there's not a sacrifice. And neither are his two servants. And they're thinking, this is the guy that said God showed him. This is the guy that's following Jehovah. And now he's going to go and sacrifice his child? On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. This is adrenaline faith. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Isn't that awesome? We will worship and we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. I don't know how long it took them to walk up that hill. But Isaac would be packing his own wood for the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, we have lots of typologies of Christ. This is a typology of Christ because Christ packed his own cross to Golgotha to die for us, to sacrifice, to be sacrificed for us, the one last sacrifice, once and for all, the perfect lamb without spot or blemish. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. What would you think about that? And the two of them went on together. Elephant in the room? Talk about it, eh? Like elephant on the mountain? What are you going to talk about? You know, like, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk about? Everything else wouldn't matter. But Abraham had adrenaline of faith running through his blood. And he knew that he knew that he knew that God was going to fulfill what he said. Please understand that God will fulfill what he says no matter what the circumstances look like. No matter what the timing is, God will fulfill everything he said he would in your life. God will fulfill that. And I don't know how long the journey was. And Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, he said, yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Man, that would rip my heart out. It would rip my heart out as a dad, knowing that he's right now the one. Abraham answered him and said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Still elephant in the room, boy. Elephant on the trail, elephant in the mountain. What's the next question? What are we going to talk about? Abraham looked up after he had put Isaac on the altar, had taken the knife, was about to plunge it into his heart. God said, stop. Can you go that far with God? Really? Can any one of you go that far with God? You can if you have the adrenaline of faith running through your blood. You can because you know God will not fail you. This is a story about God not failing us. God does not fail us. And so just as he had it up there, the angel said, or God said to him, Abraham, stop. I know you would give your son for me. I know that. And God does call us to give ourselves and everything that we have to him. Maybe not in such a tangible way, not in such a way that just rips our heart out, but he does do that and changes us individually. You notice that it's just Abraham and Isaac up on that hill. It's not a whole bunch of other people doing the same thing. And God does certain things in each one of our lives so that he'll be glorified. And so on, the further the story goes on, Abraham looked up and saw in a thicket, and he saw a ram caught by its horns. It's pretty bald up there. There's not too many thickets. He had to bring wood up. He didn't go up on the hill and cut the wood. He had to bring the wood up for the sacrifice. He gets up on the top of the mountain, and I bet you he was looking. I bet you Isaac was looking, hey, where is this goat? Where is this ram? Where is this? And there's nothing until God produces it. It's there. Isn't that awesome? It's there. Was it there all the time? I don't know. God's not limited to having it there all the time. He's not limited at all. He can make it happen right now. So he went over and took the ram and sacrificed as a burnt offering instead of his son. I bet you they had lots to talk about then. I bet you the elephant's out of the room and we're going, yay, yay, Jesus, you came through. The Lord will provide. He named the place. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. please understand that that's not just a mountain. That's way over in the east. That's the very place where your feet are on today. Everywhere you step is holy. Everywhere you are is in the presence of God. And He will provide for you whatever you have need of, including His Son Jesus, for you to spend eternity with Jesus Christ and the Father. Paul says this in Romans 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are above of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Father Abraham has many sons. Remember that song? Drove me nuts. Like some of you know it. But the truth is, He is our father in the faith. And we need to walk like Him. Paul says, this guy knew the adrenaline of faith. It goes on to say, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. Please don't take that scripture and start calling things because you heard that scripture. That's not what that scripture means. That's not a ticket for you to call things that are not into being. Unless God tells you to. If God says, this is what I want you to say, then you need to say it. But you need to believe that He can do this. But don't build yourself a religion on that. Build yourself a relationship with Jesus Christ and watch Him do this. Because Abraham's your father in faith. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. I would argue with God if he said that Elaine was going to get pregnant when she's 95 and I'm 100. Nope. I know it would be good writing and people could read it later, but Dan, you're the guy, not me. And Tara's the gal. And it said that Sarah's womb was also dead. So like, come on, God. Really? Except the adrenaline of faith kicks in and says, you know what? Doesn't look good. You ever been there? Doesn't look good. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you said you were. And I believe you. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Bring it on, God. Bring it on. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he's promised. Ah, underline that in your heart. God has the power to do what he has promised. This is why it is accredited to him as righteousness. The words, it was accredited to him, were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for justification, for our justification. Isn't that awesome? What? Is it? It's awesome that we have this inside of us, every one of us. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have family that's been in the church for 17 centuries. You don't have to have bought the building. You don't have to have done anything except accept Jesus Christ, and you have this inside of you. And the righteous shall live by faith. So that's the measure of faith. But when we need it, the adrenaline of faith is there. So the disciples are learning, just as you and I are. They're learning about this kind of faith. And so the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked him, why couldn't we drive it out? They just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and there was a demon, and they couldn't cast that demon out, or the people down there couldn't. And he says, and please, I think sometimes we think that Jesus belittles us. And so it's written here by Matthew, Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. That's why. It's not like, I'm really disappointed in you. I mean, you hung around me for like 2.5 years now or better, and this is all you can come up with? Like, well, you guys are just like, I have a hard time being around you. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you just have a little bit of faith right now. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Please, again, don't go and move the Rocky Mountains into Manitoba. Don't try to move the Coast Mountains, you know, so that we can drive through to Vancouver Island. Don't. That's not what this is saying. What he's saying is this is something tangible that you can see. The type of faith that I can give you when necessary can move that mountain. The mountain in your life is as big as sometimes the Rockies are. And you need to know that God can move that mountain. He can move that mountain. And you just need to call on him and say, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the faith. Give me that adrenaline faith that I can say to this mountain inside of me, the enemy inside of me. You start dealing with demons and stuff like that, you'll want to have this adrenaline faith. You'll want it because you'll be vomiting and praying at the same time. Because it's pretty scary. It really is. Not to God, just to us in our flesh. And we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and strongholds in dark places. And so while we have that kind of an enemy, we have the Holy Spirit, who every knee, Jesus says, every knee, and demons have knees, and they'll bow to Jesus Christ. So the gift of faith gives you confidence. The gift of faith gives you confidence that nothing, do you hear me? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. So what is that nothing for you now? Because it's not a nothing in some of your lives. It's a something. I want you to stand with me. Have the team come back. What is it that you need adrenaline faith for this morning? What is it need that you need to maybe come alongside? And do you have the adrenaline faith for somebody else to walk through? What is it this morning? And so we're going to do a little different this morning. I'm just going to ask you to, if you need God to work in a miraculous, powerful way by faith, you need adrenaline faith. I want you to put your hand up really high. Okay? There's lots. Thank you for being so bold. Okay. All right? Now I want you to turn around. People, no, you stand, keep your hand up, and I want you to just gather around and lay hands on those people. We're going to pray. Okay? So keep your hands up, and then go ahead and mess up the church a little bit. Just go ahead and just, if you have need of an adrenaline faith answer from God. And I don't want to sound like a TV evangelist. I'm talking about the Word of God that says this. All right, so gather around. I see people that have their hands up, nobody's around them. Please come around them and gather around them, lay hands on them. All right? I want everybody to have somebody lay hands on them. If you don't have somebody laying hands on, go lay hands on somebody else that has the same need right now. All right? Just gather around. Please do it. Please do it. Because we can minister as a body.
That's right.
We can minister as a body.
Amen.
All right. Somebody, Pat, somebody needs to lay hands on Pat. Yeah, just, yeah, good deal. Some of you are going, well, I don't know whether I can do that. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's a beauty.
Yeah.
I'm your pastor. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Because God does it all.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to be open, but he wants to work through you. So let's pray. Father, every hand that's raised is one that is in just indicating in their heart they need a miracle to happen. They need a miracle. They need you to intervene with the gift of faith, this adrenaline faith. They need that to happen, Lord. They need that in their lives right now. Would you do that, God? We come against all the enemies, doubts and lies and fears and reasons why this can't happen. We ask that you wouldn't let them see what they can see, but they would start to see into the realm of faith and they would see what you're doing. Abraham was able to see that because you gave him that kind of faith. This morning, right now, here, I pray for everyone with an upraised hand that you would touch them and minister to them and encourage them, and that they would have a word from you, an encouragement from you, and that this day would be so different in their lives. And we give you praise and glory for the answers to prayer that bring glory to your name. And we pray this now in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.